All right, who's in charge?
God.
Say his name.
God.
Say amen, his name is Jesus. Say it like you know him. Jesus, amen. Jesus is absolutely in charge. Something we need to understand, that all these things that we're seeing, all these things that are happening, are two different kingdoms. There's a cosmic battle going on. We got a kingdom of light and righteousness, and we got a kingdom of darkness and unrighteousness. And they're fighting on the same plane, all right? And we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, as those born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, we are to be part of this battle, but the battle does not belong to me. It belongs to God. Amen. That there are kingdoms struggling, there's light and darkness struggling, there's powers and principalities in the heavenly realms that we're called to come together and to wrestle with. Amen. But still, it's not my fight to fight. It's God's fight to fight. It's my choice to choose on whose side I'm going to be on. We're going to talk about choices today. We're going to talk about the two kingdoms. And we're going to ask, I'm going to ask you, whose side are you on? Amen? Right now you might say, I'm on Jesus' side. But there might be a couple of checks that you need to make sure about. Amen? Because there's a lot of people who think they're on Jesus, who thinks, yeah, the country's coming out of me. A lot of folks reckon they think that they're on Jesus' side, but really and truly, are they? There's some evidences and there's some signs that you hold on to that will let you know the right from the wrong, that will let you know from righteousness and unrighteousness, good and evil, light and darkness. Amen? And we need to know, because regardless of which side we're on, the time is what the time is. Right? Because the times are not going to change. They are what they are. Jesus said these things are going to happen. We're going to see these powers and principalities rising up. It is not going to happen. Folks, it is happening. Right? It is happening. I just heard today from a brother in Sunday school that he went to a home box store, right? And he went to pay with cash. And the cashier said that if you don't have the exact change, you can't use cash. All right? I don't have my wallet on me. But what I'm saying, that your cash may not be worth what you think it's worth. And that there is coming a time that this cashless one world society is happening.
Right.
All right? And there are little scrimmages, little bitty pockets of fight that are going on all the time. And what they're fighting for is the mind and the soul of the church.
Amen.
See, it's not against you personally, but against your pigmentation. Right? It's not about your color. It's not about what you think. It's on whose side are you on. Because all these little kingdoms that we're going to be talking about, they're not against you personally, but they're against the God who you serve. Right? We're going to open this stuff up. Some folks may have to take some signs out of your yard by the end of this sermon. Right?
Praise the Lord.
Because the only thing that really matters is eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
White lives don't really matter. Black lives really don't matter. They don't matter. Don't matter a bit.
Jesus
life. Eternal life. Eternal life matters. All the other lives that don't matter. So we got to get it straight. All right? Time to straighten up. Time to get our mind put on the correct way. As it says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, and this is our springboard today. The title of the sermon is The Cosmic Battle, Choose Your Side Carefully. All right? Choose your side carefully. Again, like I've said, we're talking about the kingdoms and all that kind of stuff. It says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, quite simply, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. All right? This is not a physical battle that we're in. Although we're seeing it played out on a physical field, on the temporal field, we're seeing the battle played out. But that's not where the real battle is being fought.
Amen.
All right? We're seeing what is the temporal and the very temporary flavor of the day. All right? That's what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. But the real fight has been going on for a long time in the heavenly realms.
Amen.
And now, like any pimple that's about ready to pop, it's rising to a head. Mm-hmm. Right? And we'll call it a boil. a boil of sin on the world. I had another adjective, but I didn't want to freak people out. You know, Pastor shouldn't say that. All right, I shouldn't say that. So anyhow, but we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. All right, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a fight going on, folks. There's a fight. There's a battle, and we're seeing the devastation of this battle on the earth, on this battlefield that we live on. Jesus talked about be careful where your treasures are stored. Right? All right. Now, he's not just talking about wealth. He's not just talking about that. Well, open your Bibles up or flip over to Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 24. Not many verses here. I can't start there. We got to start a little bit earlier than that. Amen? Because we got to get the whole scene of what Jesus is talking, because I can pull a verse out and make it say what I want it to.
Right.
But let's see what Jesus says. I love the letters in red because it don't matter what you think or what I think. Jesus said it all. Amen? So what Jesus, he's talking about here, we need to pay attention to this. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust do corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? Amen. It's in heaven. All right. Now, when you look at the world scene and you look at the things that are happening on, and you see all of these battles happening on the earth right now, all these little kingdoms popping up, like acne breaking out on a teenager's face. You see all these little things popping up all over the place. Whose side are you on? Because
right.
It sounds good. It sounds good. I want to be involved in Black Lives Matter. It sounds good. Right? When you just look, because I agree, Black Lives do matter. So do white lives. I actually know, like I said before, it don't matter what your color is. Right? Eternal life matters. Get all that other garbage out of the way. It doesn't matter. But the world would have you think that this one particular thread matters so much more than every other thread in the whole fabric of life. Two young teenagers, y'all can come up here. Come up here, grab a hold of this thing right here. It might get out of the way. They're going to hurt you one on one side, one on the other. And what you're going to do is you're going to pick this up off those wheels, lift it straight up, walk up here, spin around. You go this way, you come that way. Set her down. All right, praise God. Y'all can see that? Here, scooch it up to the edge here, because I'm going to have to stand down. There you go. Beautiful. You are wonderful. Thank you for being strong. Thank you, Mike, for getting out of the way. Anyhow, what we're talking about, these kingdoms, right? There's the kingdom of Yahweh. There's the kingdom of Christ that Jesus is going to build. This is built by Jesus Christ. And in this, you have your free will. You have the kingdoms of this world. And God gives you a free will. Now, what's Satan's biggest desire? That my throne's going to be put above your throne. That's what he says. This is what I want. I want to be higher than God. I want to be more important than the living God. My realm, Satan said, will be better than yours. All right? That's what got Satan cast out. He was a perfect cherubim until iniquity was found in him. And that iniquity was the pride that he was going to have. My life matters more than your life. My will matters more than their will. Now, as you look at this, I know it's kind of confusing right now, but that's how my mind works. It's confusing to everybody else, but I see it plain. Right? Amen? So you see the kingdom of God up here on this top right here, and it's a magnificent, wonderful kingdom. God made this. It's perfect. It's for the church. It's built for anybody who would believe in the Most High God, who would believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who would plant their lives in this kingdom. It's made for you. And anybody who wants it can come get you some.
Amen.
Right? You can have this kingdom. It was bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. It was made for you. And God wants you to be a part of that kingdom.
Amen.
What's the problem? I. is the middle of sin. Me. I got to have my way. It's all about me. That's what Satan said. And Satan said, well, I'm going to build a different kingdom that is more powerful than your kingdom, the kingdoms of this world. And so he said, how can I do this over a span of time? Because I know I can't beat God right straight up, so what do I do? I got to start in the Garden of Eden. I've got to start spreading this thing, did God really say? Did God really say this, or did God really say that? So he came to the woman, and the woman fell for it. So did Adam. He fell for it too. And God came, and sin came into the world. And God confronted that, and he made a fix for it, Jesus. I made a whole Old Testament fall down into one small thing. All right? So all of that boils down to this. Well, Satan has been angry, spitting mad since that day.
Amen.
He's been mad, and he said, I'm going to kill anything that looks like righteousness. I'm going to wipe it off the face of the earth. The world is my world, and I'm going to rule it, says Lucifer. God says, go ahead, hit me with your best shot. Fire away, big boy. What you got? Right? And so Satan starts these ideals in man's head.
Right.
He starts saying, well, you person, you're more important. You're more important than what the Word of God says. In fact, there is no God. It's all in your imagination. And so that's Satan building his foundation of the kingdom.
Right.
Did God really say? Did God really live? Is God true? That's what he's saying. So he starts these things. He starts religion, right? Well, God hates religion. You know that? God is all about relationship.
Amen.
From the beginning, from the very first book, God came and he wanted to have fellowship with Adam. He came in the cool of the evening and then he said, hey, Adam, let's sit down, let's chill. Let's talk about the day.
Right?
So he wanted to have that relationship with humankind. And Satan said, I know how I can stop this. I'm gonna make man dirty so the holy God can't speak to him. And I'm going to make him have a religion where he thinks he can get good enough to get to God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that started man's religion against the relationship of God. That's why Jesus came against the Pharisees and the Sadducees of his day and called them whitewashed sepulchers. John the Baptist, you temples full of sepulchers full of dead men's bones. Who warned you from the wrath to come, right? And those things were talked out. So the religion really builds on your flesh.
Right?
Religion makes you think that you can be good enough. I can do this, I can do that, I can be as good as God. Look at me. I'm a Baptist. Oh, I'm a Presbyterian. No, I'm a Catholic. No, I'm a this. I'm a that. I'm the other. Stop it. Okay? Are you born again or are you not? The rest don't matter.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
Get that religion stuff kicked out. Because it don't matter what religion you are, what relationship you have with God.
Amen?
Amen? So what is your relationship with God? So Satan said, I'm going to start building all these false kingdoms, these little kingdoms. And if you can imagine, I got a little K beside all these KKKK. These are little kingdoms. Kingdoms of false doctrine. Right? That's the Satan-built kingdom. All right? The doctrines of devils will be believed in the last days. We're seeing that more and more. So this little kingdom is matched up, locked in top with religion and the flesh. So these are like Lego blocks. Imagine them click. Wow. And I'm going to get all these people and all those people together, and we're going to be like God. And we're going to get big. Oh, if I could get more people on my side, there's less people on their side, and my number is going to be bigger than their number. Only they forget that if you're with God, you and God are the majority. Amen? You and Jehovah, you and Yahweh, you are the majority. You already won the fight, right? But see, Satan wants you to forget that. And so he starts making up all these other things. Things like addiction. Man, who has a heart for the addicted person? I do. I was addicted for a long time to a lot of different stuff. But God came and set me free. Right? I didn't take a 12-step program. I took a one-step. Right? I stepped to Christ and he cleansed me of all my unrighteousness. Glory to God. Right? I got made free, set free by the blood, by the power of Jesus Christ. And from that time forward, I have been free, and it's wicked and twisted up as my mind is, it's all natural. Right? I mean, nothing false going on. It's fear-filled now. It's a little weird to everybody else, but if you're born again, you'll catch this. And so that addiction is a kingdom. And we can say, well, I don't want to call addiction sin. What I want to say is something that you're born with. It's a God mistake. It's a geno that's in you that's no good. And so that makes you addicted to different stuff. Isn't that what psychology tells you? Right? You're born that way and you can't help it. So what do we say? Well, all right, Satan says he's put these four together and he's starting to build this kingdom. It's looking pretty good. So how can I make this really work well? Well, through witchcraft. No, I'm not talking about spot of Newton, wing of owl, and that kind of witchcraft. I'm talking about regular pharmakia. Right? The regular type witchcraft that, all right, my kid is acting wild, so what do we do? Well, it's dopey, man. The boy's not, he's acting like a boy, so what do? We put him on Ritalin, or we put him on this, or put him on that. Or people going through depression, right? Oh, I'm so depressed. Well, what do you need? A happy pill, right? What I need is mother's little helper. I need a Valium. That's going to get me through today, right? I don't know, there's new mind-altering drugs. But you talk to most folks in the world today, they're on some kind of mind-altering dope. All right? Dope doesn't make you smarter. They call it dope for a reason. Right? Because it pollutes your mind. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't some cases where there is the result of sin on the inside of a human body and they need help. Right? And there are some things that can help with that. And I'm not saying, like, if you have high blood pressure, take your high blood pressure medicine. Right? Or even better than that, if you have high blood pressure, change your diet. Right? Stop eating salt licks. Right? It'll change, really and truly. I need 7 pounds of salt on my hamburger that had 7 pounds of salt before it was cooked. So you don't need, so there's some things that you can do. You can change, you can come back to the Bible way of doing stuff, and your body will get right. Anytime that we're doing something outside of the constructs of the Word of God, right, things get messed up in the human physiological makeup. I don't like that for big words. I use big words. And so anyhow, and then how about social groups? So pharmakia, that's a kingdom of its own. But when you click it to the rest, it all of a sudden becomes, you see the mindset of mankind starting to change, right? So how about social groups? Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, all those things, social media groups, Zoom. How many churches are being Zoomed today? Most. Amen? So as you're looking at that, where did all of that internet garbage, where did it come from? I'm sorry, I put my word garbage in. Where did it come from?
Bill Gates.
Did it come from God's kingdom or did it come from Satan's kingdom? It came from Satan's kingdom, right? None of these things are good. Why? And I talk to Christians all the time and say, well, I have a lot of good friends on Facebook and I spread the gospel on Facebook. And we just looked in Corinthians today. What relationship should light have with darkness?
Right.
Amen? Well, what relationship should we have there? What relationship should righteousness have with evil? All right. Well, wait a second. It's Facebook, man. It's really cool. It's Twitter. It's my social media account. I have 5,000 friends on Facebook. I bet you don't. Bet you don't. Now, you might have some friends on Facebook. You might have some. I mean, real friends. But really, you got 5,000 friends on Facebook, and you put out on Facebook, hey, I'm in need of a new car. Or I'm in need of transportation. Bring me to the doctor. Did you have 4,000 people show up at your doorstep giving you a ride to the hospital? Then I take it that those weren't real friends. Because a real friend would do what? Amen. Asha, you need something? You call your friend. Hey, friend, I need something. And a friend is there, right? Willing to pour their life out into your life. But see, social media, wicked kingdoms don't do that because it's all about me. It's all about I. On Facebook, all I want you to see is what I do. Aren't I great? Look at what I ate. Look at how it digested. And I took a picture of it in the loo for you, you know? That's Facebook. What good is that? So that's another type of kingdom. Feminism and misogynist. Alright? Yeah. Sure you can.
About Facebook.
Yes, yeah, please.
In the context of a lot of Christian people.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that has really been lost is when we go out, not that I'm saying it's not wrong to share about maybe what your children did or this or that, but the sensitivity that somebody else is on, that mom who's struggling to have a baby or get pregnant,
right.
And then you have a mom who's just going on and on about every single little thing, would you have done that necessarily to that person?
If you were,
outside of that?
If you were sitting at a dinner table with them, right?
If that person posted on there, would you call those 4,000 to 5,000 friends you have and tell them that same thing?
Wow.
So before you post, and I'm talking to my ability to the fire here, you know? Before you post something, would you tell every single one of those people that same thing if you were to pick up the phone and call
them? Amen. Not just every single one of them, but for all eternity. For all the world. Forever.
Yeah.
All right? What happens when you hang your dirty laundry where everybody can see it? Everybody sees your dirty laundry. There's some stuff that folks don't need to see, right? There are some things that you just keep to yourself.
And a lot of times, too, it's casting our pearls before
for swines.
When we're sitting there, and then you get the fighting going on.
Oh, my goodness. How much? Amen. The body of Christ is called to unity, right? Right, we're called to come together. Like Asha was just saying, sometimes when you post stuff, does it bring unity or does it bring division?
Yeah.
Okay, if it's dividing, what's it doing? It's causing strife. Who causes strife against the kingdom of God? Satan does. All right, so I'm not picking on Facebook. I'm talking about all these little bitty kingdoms. All right, Facebook is just part of it.
Mm-hmm.
All these little bitty kingdoms. Or the Ku Klux Klan, which was the Democrat Party.
Amen.
All right? Or Black Lives Matter, which is still the Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about religion.
No.
Gay, lesbian, barbecue. G. What's the BQ stand for?
Bisexual.
Oh, what's the Q stand for?
Queer.
Queer? Okay. Anyhow, I don't know. I thought it was like a big cookout, right? Gay, lesbian, cookout. The barbecue.
Large barbecue.
Large barbecue. Large barbecue, right?
Bisexual. It's LGBTQ.
Oh, okay, got it. See, anyhow, this is, again, is a kingdom, right? It's a kingdom, and what is this kingdom against? God, all right? How about the KKK? What's the kingdom against? It's against God. How about Black Lives Matter? What's that kingdom against? It's against God, all right? Science. It's against God. Education. What's that kingdom against? All right? Now, it didn't start that way, but that's what it is. All right? So, Satan says, I'm going to build a kingdom that's better than yours. All right? Now, the kingdom of God, it's about a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit, through truth, freedom, the love, agape, loving people in the middle of their mess, and holiness. Right? And Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, and what he wants is people's free will. He doesn't want to force you to come to his side. He wants you to choose to come to his side. Now, if you say that you're in the camp of Jesus Christ and you're supporting these things, what happens if you're lukewarm? You're vomited out, right? If you're lukewarm, he says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Whose camp are you in? Church, I think the time is coming. It's really coming, and it's coming quick, that we're going to have to make a sharp choice between the righteousness of God and the doctrines of man.
We should be doing that now.
We should be doing it. Amen. Thank you, sister.
Exactly where we stand.
Yes. We need to make a stand. Make a stand in the righteousness of God. We need to make a stand in the holiness of God. It tells us in Psalm chapter 2. Flip over there real quick. Psalm chapter 2. And he asked this wonderful question. Say amen when you get there. Amen. Psalms chapter 2. It says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves to rule and take counsel together against God and against His anointed. Why are the heathen raging? Why are all of these people taking counsel together? Why? It tells you right here. The kings of the earth, all of these kings of the world, are gathering together. They're taking counsel together against the Lord. See, this here isn't about white and black, gay and straight. That is the outside. That's the scab of the problem. The splinter of the problem is a battle between holiness and unholiness. It's a battle in the heavenly realms between righteousness and unrighteousness.
Amen.
And that's the real battle. That's what we're wrestling against. It's not against these things that we see on the outside, because does God love the Black Lives Matter people? Absolutely. Does He love the KKK? Absolutely. Does He love the homosexual? Absolutely He does. Absolutely He does. They've just been deceived by darkness. They've been deceived by the powers of this world. They're deceived and they're going to hell. Right? And man, what does the church do? First, we recognize it for what it is, right? Alcoholism, addiction, is not a birth defect. It's a choice, right? You have a choice. You don't have to drink that drink. You don't have to snort that line. You don't have to heat up that needle. You don't have to do that. Now, are you caught by the snare of Satan? Amen, you are. But when the Lamb sets you free, when Jesus sets you are free indeed.
Amen?
Amen. Right? And so we got to get to the core of these battles. Not on the surface. It's not my job as the church to fight any of these surface things. Surface things. Surfish? That's somebody who surfs and fishes, right? Surface things. My battle is in the heavenly realms. My battle is on my face before God. Why are the heathen raging? Because they're wanting to fight against the one true God. They're wanting to fight against the kingdom of heaven. And Satan is mad. And he's getting madder. That's why you're seeing these things not just every once in a while popping up, but they're popping up every day. And Black Lives Matter is just the flavor of the week. Amen? There's another, after this comes down, there's another one coming up. There's another one, and it's going to be nastier than this. You think COVID-19 was bad? Wait until it comes back. Wait until it comes back. Wait until they say you've got to take this chip on your hand or this chip in your forehead or you can't buy, sell, and trade. Wait till you go to the store with your cash and they're not going to take it unless you've got this chip. Right? Wait till those days come. And brother, those days aren't coming. They are here. They're here. And the heathen are raging. They're ravenous wolves. They're foaming at the mouth. And they don't hate you. They hate the God who you represent. And they're not fighting against you, white person, yellow person, green person, black person. And they're not fighting against you. They're fighting against the God in the heavens. Now understand the battle. Who's that battle belong to? Say it like you mean it. It belongs to the Lord. It belongs to God. So if I take my pistol and I go beat him in the street, I'm going to get you. What's that going to do? It's going to get me killed. And it's going to make their side look good. But if I meet them in the street with love, kindness, compassion, what's that going to do? Won't get you on the news. But it might change your heart. Alright? Martin Luther King Jr. Not the one who said the 95 theses, but the one who went into against the Klan, against the Democrat Party, the Klan, went there with peace in his heart and love in his mouth. Who said, you want to spray us with water hose, stick your dogs on us? Do it. Go for it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stand for righteousness. I'm not going to fight back.
Amen.
I'm going to let you do to my body whatever you can do to my body that the I'm willing to lay my life down that men might walk on my dead back to reach freedom on the other side. Church, are you willing to do that? Or are we going to get angry about what Satan's doing? Remember, we've already won, right? I'm more than a victor through Jesus Christ who's in me. All right, I've already passed that mark.
Yes.
All right? Job said, even though you slay me, yet will I trust me. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to move forward in grace and love and kindness.
Amen.
He goes on to say, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. I love that. Yeah, you know, all these little chihuahuas down here, they're barking at the heels of God. God's just laughing at them.
That's right.
He says, I'm sitting in the heavens and I'm laughing at them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It says in verse 3, I skipped ahead. He said, let us break their bands. This is what the world says. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. The world is saying, listen, we don't need God anymore. Education said we don't need God anymore. Scientists said that there was never a God in the first place. Right? And when was it, 1963? When they took the reading of the Bible out of the school, made it illegal to bring your Bibles to school. What has happened in the education system since 1963 to 2000?
Gone self.
Huh?
Gone self.
Nothing wrong with the South, huh? It's gone to hell is where it went. It didn't go south. Alabama, Georgia, that ain't a bad place, maybe. It's gone to hell. It's gone to hell. There used to be a time where the teacher didn't have to fear for her life in her classroom. That day's gone. There was a time that a teacher would never think of having a sexual relationship with a student. Those days are gone. Why? Because we took the fear of God out of the classroom. Right? We took God out, and hell has ruled in the classroom for decades. Those children were brought up in that, and unfortunately, they're running the political scene and the judicial scene of America today. It's sad because it's true. Amen? Verse 4. He that setteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. God's going to mess it all up. This kingdom that Satan is building down here with all of these lifestyles and thoughts, all these little kingdoms, you know what he's going to do? He's going to stir it up. He's going to stir it up. And Satan says, I'm going to build all these things. Oh, wow, thank you, Lord, for this. When I was a little kid, I had those erector sets. Right? You put all the stuff together. Those were the ones with little bolts and stuff, and you screw them all together and you make stuff with them. Right? You know what my little sister would do when I had something built? She would be Godzilla. She would run through and she'd crush my little village. She would kick things over and crush it. That's what God's going to do to this. Alright? Satan is building all of this stuff up that they can fight. The heathen are raging against God. Right? They're raging. They're foaming at their mouth. They're mad. And they want to destroy anything that stands for God. God's going to come and he's going to kick over their little plate door. That's all he's going to do. Nothing can stand under the kingdom of heaven.
No.
Reminds me of the Tower of Babel. The Lord, you showed this to me while I was talking. And I hope I haven't been through the first page. All right, but the Tower of Babel. Y'all remember the account of the Tower of Babel? Everybody was speaking the same language.
Yeah.
They all had the same cell phone.
Yeah.
All right, they were all speaking the same language. They said, we're going to come together and we're going to build a tower, a ziggurat. Actually, what it is, a ziggurat, a pyramid. We're going to build a pyramid that's going to reach up to heaven, and we will be like God. All these little building blocks right here. We're going to build a ziggurat. We're going to build a tower. And the king of this realm, Satan, he said, I'm going to set my throne on top of that tower, and it's going to be bigger than God's. We're watching that building. Right now, we're watching the construction of the building of Lucifer on the planet Earth. I'm glad I know the end of the story. Amen. Because if I just looked at this, it looks like we're unnumbered. Well, and I don't have all of these because I don't have a big enough blackboard. All right, but anyhow, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. About 15 things in the power. And here I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, so I got 6 on righteousness and 15 on the other side. Looks like they outnumber us, huh? Looks like their thoughts are bigger than our thoughts. But God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways.
One angel killed
85 men. Amen.
One angel.
One. Well, remember,
Hezekiah was.
Satan is an angel. Uh-huh. He has. I mean, and even Michael, the archangel, wouldn't wrestle with him over the body of Satan, of Moses. Uh-huh. Right? Yeah, whoop, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Remember that. You know. Uh-huh. So in this Psalm. Chapter 2, verse 5. Then he shall speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them with his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy Mount Zion. I will declare the decree, saith the Lord. The Lord hath said unto thee, thou art my son, and this day I have begotten thee. Who's he talking about? Jesus, amen. Ask me, and I have given thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. Who's going to rule all this in the end? Jesus is. Amen. There's coming a day that Jesus is going to sit down in Jerusalem, and he's going to rule this wicked world. Amen. With a rod of iron. Amen. Whose camp are you in? Who are you supporting? Who do you believe is going to win? Amen. Amen.
Only one.
Now, there's so many churches, because Debbie and I were driving around the other day, and on a church billboard, I'll tell you the name, but it kind of sounds like something you eat with crackers, chili. And in that church, on his billboard, at Black Lives Matter, didn't have anything about Jesus Christ. In these riots that are going on because Black Lives Matter, have you seen any of them with the Word of God preaching the righteousness, righteous love of God? So whose side are they on? Satan's side. Church, who are you aligning yourself with? In the feminist marches, the ones where they put on the pink hats? Right? Yeah, oh, thank you. Since I had a female say it, they wear their vagina on their head. All right? Because that's really what they're doing. And they're in the car, and they're up, and they're, amen. And they're screaming, I must murder my children because of misogynistic males. Right? Isn't that the core of what they're saying? Now, who's behind that?
Satan.
Is that something that God would ever have anyone do? Of course not. So are you putting your camp on that side? Or even misogynistic males? Are men that are being horribly rude to their families, being macho, I'm Rambo man, I'm here to beat my wife and kids and kick the dog. That's garbage. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, freely giving himself for her, right? That's what we're supposed to be doing, loving, supporting. We're not supposed to. So, misogynistic males, where's that come from? That's the heathen. That's Satan. That's the kingdoms of this world. Praise God for Jesus. Praise God for Jesus. He's going to rule. He's going to fix all this stuff. So we as the church need not be caught up in this. The church of Jesus Christ ought to be caught up in this relationship over here. We ought to be caught up by the Holy Spirit. We ought to be caught up by the truth of this living world. We need to be caught up in the freedoms, not the addictions and the snares of this world. We need to have this agape.
Amen.
More for the brethren than we do the world. And I like that, what I just said. I need to love you guys more than I love these guys. You know why? Because you got the Holy Spirit. I got the power in me. I got the power in me. I got the power in me. Yeah. And it's the power of God is in us. Amen. And we need this more than we need that. Amen. That love, that holiness.
Amen.
And we got to have these things. Because the days are getting, they're not getting dark. They are dark.
think you moved us some scripture here in my thing.
It's all temporary.
Isn't it? It is. It's all going to burn with a fervent heat, ain't it, sister? There ain't none of this going to last. None of it. So hold on to the things that are true. Hold on to the things that are righteous. Hold on to the things that are holy and good. And let the earth have the rest of it. Right? So I'm going to align my camp, and this is my temple. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Right? I'm going to align this temple up with these things. Amen. On that side. I'm going to align my temple up with the temple, the new kingdom of Jesus Christ. All right? I'm not going to let my mind, I'm not going to let my wealth, I'm not going to let this stuff rob me of that stuff. Because this is from a thief. This will rob you of truth. It will rob you of rest. It will rob you of peace. It will rob you of the fruits of the Spirit. It will rob you of joy and love, patience and goodness. All of those things. It will take that from you.
That's right.
You look at all the people that are all caught up in this. How many of those are really at peace? There is no peace. There's no peace in that garbage. Amen. It says, thank you, sister. This produces bitterness. This produces fear. This produces unrighteousness.
Amen.
This produces darkness. Oh, but the kingdom of Jesus sets you free from all of that. Amen. Amen. That kingdom. Oh, I want that kingdom to be in you. Amen. Not in you in the future, but in you in the present. Right? And today, the church needs to wake up. We need to make a decision on whose side we're going to be on. The battle lines are already drawn. They were drawn way back before the foundations of the earth. Alright? And Satan, throughout millennial, throughout history, has done his best, generation after generation after generation, people after people group, to knock down the kingdom of God.
Yes.
But the biggest, baddest catapult that he has can't dent the furthest gate of the kingdom of God. Amen?
Right.
But you know what he can do? He can deceive the church.
That's right. He can.
To think that these are right.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He can deceive the church to think that this is a good idea.
Because the church is more apostate.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Because the churches have already reached apostate state.
Absolutely.
We've reached that ideal that, well, what education has taught us. There is no real God. There is no absolute truth. Well, wait a second. Jesus said, I am the truth. So there is absolute truth. There is absolute holiness. There is absolute righteousness. And it is found in the Word of God. It is found in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Only place.
Only place.
No bowing.
Amen. What do all these people want you to do? I want you to swear allegiance. I want you to swear allegiance. I want you to swear allegiance. I want you to swear allegiance to the science or education. Who here was taught that if you didn't go to college, you couldn't get a job?
Yeah.
I didn't go to high school. I worked my whole life. Amen? Right? And all these things, these are all lies sent from the pits of hell to take the church out of who they are. Amen? So what you going to do? Right? What you going to do? Because they're about ready to take away your money. All right? It's already here. My brother just told me, I didn't go to Home Depot and find this out. He came and gave the testimony this morning in Sunday school. He went with cash in his hand to Home Depot, and it has on the cashier checkout place, if you don't have the exact change, we can't take your money.
COVID-19 is the reason that they say.
Everything is because of COVID-19. Everything is. Now, COVID-19 is real, and there are people dying from that. Okay? It is real. And there are people dying from it. But it's nothing like the scientists told you it was.
No,
It's nothing like Biden said that it was this past week. What, 120 million people already died?
That's right, he said.
This was, all right. But you see what I'm, you know, what is truth and what is not? All right? Who comes to deceive the brother? Lucifer, Satan. Right? Now, he appears as an angel of light, but really his heart is full of wickedness and bitterness. Satan is on this earth, and he's deceiving us with this and much more. Right? He's trying to get the church to bow down, to break a knee, to humble themselves before him, and to exalt him above the one true Most High God. In the church, well, the real church isn't being deceived. No. But the majority of people who call themselves Christian are being sucked into this vortex, and they don't even realize it. Right. They're not being forewarned. But wait a second. I heard in the back they're not being forewarned. Do they have this book? If you got this book called the Bible, you are forewarned. Daniel, Ezekiel, Zechariah, Malachi, Revelation, Jesus, Matthew, Luke, John. You're warned. And you're warned. But if you don't read this book, you don't apply this book, you don't understand this book, then there'll be no excuse. You'll stand before God and say, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name? Mm-hmm. Haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? And as Jesus said just before that, not everybody who calls me Lord, Lord will be welcome or enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the work of the Father. Amen? So if you're doing this work, is that the work of the Father? If you're doing this work, is that the work of the Father? Amen. If you're doing the work of love and holiness and freedom and truth through the Holy Spirit and relationship, you're doing the work of the Father. And your camp is bright. Amen. And he will be your day in the noonday, and he'll be your fire by night. He will be your shield and your buckler. He will be what you need him to be at the time you need him to be at. But first, you need to make up your mind. Whose camp are you in?
Amen.
Right? Be wise now, therefore, in verse 10. Ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. All right, wait a second. What are we supposed to do? Now, he's warning the kings of the earth, you need to get right with God. But they're not going to. I've heard so many Christians say that there's an end-time revival. Right? How many have heard that? There's going to be a revival in the end days. What I read in the Word of God is that wicked is going to become more wicked.
Yeah.
Right? People are going to be turning away from sound doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to be leaving the fold and being deceived by doctrines of demons. People are going to be disobedient to parents. They're going to turn away from the holiness and the goodness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be sucked into this. There will be a type of revival, because the real church is going to shine like the sun, right? The real church, the ones who have got their eyes open, who are prepared, they're going to shine like the glories of heaven.
Bless God.
But remember, it only takes a little bit of light in the darkness to shine bright. Amen. We are surrounded by wickedness on every side. But God.
But God.
But God. Amen. But God. Amen, we do. Amen, we got a hedge around us. I believe that wholly and fully. As we were talking in Matthew, I never did finish that scripture. We need to go back to that real quick. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's where we left off, right? Jesus said, the light of the body is the eye. It's what you're focusing on. It's the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, wholly set apart, looking at one thing, thy whole body shall be filled with light. All right, let me come back over here real quick. All right, if your eye is focused on this side of the blackboard, right? I guess that's bigoted now. You can't say blackboard. Chalkboard, all right? Isn't that crazy because I use white chalk on a blackboard? Anyhow, it's so weird the stuff that they're coming up with now, anyhow. But anyhow, you see, if your eye is on this, focused on the kingdom, right? You're focused on the kingdom. Then your whole body is going to be filled with life.
Amen.
Now, if your eye is over here, right, and you're focused on the darkness, Jesus says, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be filled with darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?
Yes.
Now, think about this, what you just were saying. If you're in this camp right here, right, you're over here, and you think that this is right. You think that this is life. You think that the gay, lesbian, the KKK, the Black Lives Matter, the feminist, the misogynist, or the education, or the science, or your social groups, all these groups, if you think that that's life, and you really believe that is life, you think you're doing the right thing. Right? You believe that you're doing the right thing. But it's really darkness? How deep must that soul be? Trapped in the darkness to think that unrighteousness is righteous. There's so many born in this who have confessed Jesus Christ that are caught up here. And they believe it. They believe it. They believe that their cause is just. But they're wrong because it doesn't line up with the kingdom of God. How deep. My heart breaks for these people. I weep for these people. I hurt because these people right here are sucked into this ungodly darkness that they really believe is righteousness. They believe that it's right.
You know, Curtis, I just got to say this because God's bringing it to my head.
Yeah.
I have Christian friends and they're on this side because they preach that God is love.
Yeah.
And God is love. But in Psalms, God says, God is angry with the wicked
every day.
Where is this confusion? Christian, yes, God is love, but God hates wickedness.
He does.
And they're pulling away from that and just...
It's breaking my heart because I'm seeing the beautiful temple that God said He was going to make. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the church is the people. It's the ecclesia.
Right.
And Lord, how can I explain this? All right, so walk with me in this. All right, so God built the temple, right? He's building the church. But thank you, Lord, for this. Have you ever seen a red brick building and some of the bricks are busted out? Right? Why? Because those bricks had impurities in them. And when they froze and thawed, they decayed. How much of the Church of Christ, right, those called Christ, but they never repented, they never converted, they never got right with God, are filled with those impurities. They never cleansed themselves with the washing of the Word. And through the changing of the weather, they started to bust into decay. And now what was supposed to be this glorious church is now fell in disrepair.
Amen.
Vessels of honor, right? What we're seeing in this last day, because the church has been going on for a long time, we're seeing a lot of the bricks that were put in that were never purified. They're falling apart. They're falling apart and going over to this side. I don't know what to do. Well, yes, I do know what to do. Pray.
That's right. Amen.
But you need to pray with a fervent faith. You need to pray with the confidence that God is able to do what He said He could do. Right?
Still the same old story, isn't it?
Amen.
You got to pray.
You got to pray.
You got
That, and I mean, I don't mean mealy mouth, God help me, bless me, feed because I'm already fat kind of prayers. Right? I don't need that kind of, I mean, kill me, Jesus. Kill the Curtis that's here. Kill my flesh. Help me to live holy. Right? Help me to be crucified. What's that? Though Christ
was, Galatians 2:20.
Galatians, spout it off.
Crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I,
but Christ,
Christ
lived within me.
Christ,
amen.
I live.
Yes.
The Son of God and love me.
Praise God. That is the answer. That, and where did you find that answer? Oh, it's in the Bible. Amen. It's in the all of the fix to this garbage is found right here. A couple of months ago, I started teaching on the end time stuff. The parables of the kingdom is what I started at the first of the year. And I went all the way up until the COVID thing started and the churches fell apart and people stopped coming and so and then God started bringing a new body. Really, God brought a new body here. He raised up a body from the ashes. Amen? Glory to God for that. You know? And he's still going to raise up a body for the last day. Now, we got to be prepared for some suffering. Because if we stand for righteousness, if we really boldly stand against this, it's going to come after you like a ravenous dog.
Right. Yeah.
And they will kill you. And they will imprison you. And they will persecute you. And he said, not just these folks, but the people of your own household. The church that has fallen apart, they hate that we didn't stop. You know that?
Yes, they do.
The churches of our town, right over there, they hate that we never shut our doors. They hate it. Why?
They feel guilty.
I don't know about that. I think it's really because they're deceived by this. And they hate the light. Because God says, be holy because I am holy.
So let them all pray that we get COVID and all of us die.
Praise God. I love you, church. I really do. This whole idea that God gave me this week to speak about on this came from a simple understanding of it's time for us to awake.
Right.
The church has been asleep for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's time for us to awaken. The days are short. The days are short. And I am not going to get into the time of the catching away and all that this week because it's already 20 after. Do you believe it's 20 after already?
Oh,
praise God. You know, I'm like, well, yeah. And so I can turn the page here. I'm only on page one. I haven't even talked about Jeremiah chapter 20 or Mark chapter 3 or, you know, or Revelation 11:15 or Joshua 24:14. You know, all of these things deal with that. And that's just a few. That's just a few of the scripture that back up what this is saying. You know that song, when we all get to heaven?
Right.
Amen. If we all get to heaven. Alright? There's an if there. Are you? Whose camp are you in? See, you can go to church every Sunday and still be aligned with this camp. You can translate the Bible into your particular dialect that you want it to say and still be in this camp right here. You can sing all of the praise and worship songs and glorify God with the sound of your voice and still be in this camp right here. It takes a change of heart. Amen. Amen. Yes, my brother.
My wife has always said, since I've known her, just because you're standing in the garage doesn't mean you're a car.
Amen. Absolutely. Just because you stand in the garage don't mean you're a car.
Right.
got a shot at me. You know, I don't know how to end this because I don't think this is the end of this teaching. Right? This ain't the period. This is a comma. Amen. This is the beginning. Right? This is the beginning of the end. All right? And so, what are we going to preach? We're going to preach Jesus Christ. We're going to preach Him crucified. We're going to preach His resurrection. We're going to preach the love of God and the love of man. And we're going to warn, like a watchman on the wall, we're going to sound the trumpet every time we gather. That, wake up. These are the times that we're in. And I don't know everything. But what I do know, right?
You know the most important
things. I know the most important things, that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. All right? So let's go to the Lord. Dear Father, we love You. We praise You. Father, I thank You. I pray that this teaching, Lord God, that we have today, and I thank You for the body of Christ that's filled with the Holy Spirit, willing to add to what You have to say. And Lord, I thank You for that You are moving freely in this congregation. And Lord, I want to remember that You have started this, that You will finish this, that Jesus, You are Alpha and Omega, and all the little parts in between. Amen? And I love You. We love You. I pray that You would prepare us for the days that we're in. I pray that You would strengthen us for the days that are yet to come, and that we would be obedient even unto the point of death. And Lord, we thank You. We praise You for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Love you guys.